Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, reserved in heaven for you. The Word of God that is the basis for our meditation this morning, as we pick up yet another thing left behind, is taken out of Luke's Gospel, chapter 24. We begin at verse 30. When he was at table with them, he took the bread and blessed and broke it and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened and they recognized him. And he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, "Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road and while he opened to us the scriptures?" And they rose that same hour and returned to Jerusalem. And they found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together, saying, "The Lord has risen indeed and has appeared to Simon." Then they told what had happened on the road and how he was known to them in the breaking of the bread. These are the words. In the name of Jesus the Christ, whom we thank for meals uneaten, whom we see in the meal of his supper, fellow redeemed in his precious blood. I sincerely hope that I'm not the only one. From time to time, I lose things. I misplace them. It's usually an important item, of course, like my wallet, phone, car keys. Naturally, I'm in a big hurry when I realize I can't leave without it. And so I check the most logical places. But I can't find it. And my anxiety grows greater and greater. I check twice the place I remember putting it, but it's not there. I try to retrace my steps from the previous day. I check my jacket pockets, dirty clothes pockets, nothing. I check my desk and my dresser 3 times. I ask my wife if she's seen it, and naturally she answers with a question. When was the last time you had it? By this time, I have absolutely no idea, and I'm beginning to question my own sanity. And suddenly, my search ends when I find the item sitting out in plain sight. On the one hand, I'm relieved. On the other hand, I'm concerned, because it was right there all along, and I never saw it. Maybe it's time to go see the eye doctor yet again. I wonder how the two disciples on the way to Emmaus felt afterward. They had spent hours walking with Jesus and talking with Jesus on the road. And it wasn't a short trip like that to Bethany, 2 miles up over a hill. Emmaus lay approximately 60 stadia, according to the Greek, or about 7 miles from Jerusalem. Today, the average person walks about a mile in 15 or 20 minutes on flat ground. And so if Emmaus lay on flat ground from Jerusalem, it would have taken 2.5, maybe 3 hours to get there if the walkers didn't stop. We don't know exactly where Emmaus was, the ancient city of Emmaus, but we can be certain that the trip was not on flat ground. We don't know when either, but at some point, the living Jesus came upon them on the road and began to walk with them. He was right there before their eyes, but they didn't recognize him with their eyes or with their ears either. I don't feel so bad about losing my wallet when it's in plain sight. Except that the Gospel of Luke tells us that there was good reason they didn't recognize him. Jesus' identity was hidden from them because their eyes were restrained, that is, held back, hindered, prevented from recognizing him. So he was right there in front of them, and they didn't recognize him. But they did on that day come to clearly see him from the scriptures. When they finally did recognize the man that they thought was a stranger, They got up that very hour and returned the 7 miles to Jerusalem. And so this morning we collect the fourth thing left behind, an uneaten meal. It's the first item that we've collected that can truly be called a leftover. We seek to learn from this uneaten meal that we may skip a meal from time to time and not suffer, but we should never pass on a spiritual meal that feeds our souls and unites us more closely to Jesus. So may God the Holy Spirit bless our meditation upon these words. Sanctify us by your truth, O Lord, your word is truth. Amen. The funny thing is, we really don't know much about the meal that the Emmaus disciples offered to Jesus on that first Easter evening. We don't know if they prepared it themselves or picked it up along the way when they got to the village. Honestly, we don't even know what they prepared to feed the stranger apart from one item: bread, perhaps unleavened bread. We know that it was an evening meal, perhaps what we would call supper. It was toward the end of the day because when the disciples invited the Savior to join them, they said, "Stay with us, for it is toward evening and the day is now far spent." Now, when we sit down for a meal, we often begin with a prayer. The prayer may vary from home to home and from meal to meal. But many of us use the familiar words that are found in Psalm 106, 107, 118, and 136. "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever." It was also common among the Jews to begin by giving thanks to the Lord before eating a meal. But I don't know how common it was for the host to defer to the guest to open with prayer. But at Emmaus, the stranger took up the bread, set before them, blessed God, and then broke it and gave it to them. And it was only then that they recognized the one who had been nourishing their faith all day long. When he was at table with them, he took the bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to them, and their eyes were opened and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. It was finally when Jesus took the bread, blessed and broke it, that their eyes were opened and they were allowed to recognize him visibly. But they only saw him for a moment, and then we're told he vanished from their sight. He literally became invisible before them. And so to this very day, whenever we sit down to eat, we make a point of recognizing Jesus. Not with our eyes, but we thank him for the meal that we're about to consume. And we ask that he would take that meal and use it to benefit our bodies, to enable us to carry out our tasks. We make a point of asking that unseen guest to be the guest of honor at every meal. Many of us say, "Come, Lord Jesus, be our guest. Let these gifts to us be blessed." When we come to his table here at Calvary to receive the spiritual meal that benefits our faith in him, we also recognize his presence, though unseen. We receive unleavened bread and grape wine from the hand of the minister, but it's Jesus who serves us in miraculous fashion with his own body and blood. He doesn't do this to strengthen our bodies, but our confidence in his sacrifice. He speaks to us in the words repeated by the minister: "Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And we recognize that Jesus is present with us because, well, not because we see him with our eyes, but because of what his word promises us. That is, where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of them. While the Emmaus disciples didn't visibly recognize Jesus on the road from Jerusalem for nearly 3 hours, they did perhaps for the first time see Jesus, the Messiah, clearly from the scriptures. You see, it was the stranger who pointed out along the road that the Old Testament scriptures had foretold that the Messiah had to suffer and die and rise again. He even rebuked them, a stranger, for not seeing this clearly, because God had revealed it to them all in His Word. And so the very thing that they believed disqualified Jesus from being the promised Savior was actually the very thing that proved He was. And the stranger didn't only say it. He proved it from the scriptures of the prophets that they themselves knew. The Savior, already on the road, nourished and fed their starving faith as they walked along. He said to them, "O foolish ones and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into His glory?" And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, He interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning Himself. And so those disciples came to see finally, perhaps after following Jesus for 3 years, not 3 hours, that His suffering and death and resurrection were in fact foretold by the prophets of the Old Testament. What Peter declared that would never happen, and none of them understood, happened, just as the Spirit of God said beforehand that it would. And we note that the scriptures had an effect on those disciples. It changed their hearts, it changed their attitudes, it changed their way of thinking. It wasn't the bread, it wasn't merely seeing Jesus. Because when they reached the village of Emmaus, they constrained this stranger, they urged him strongly to stay with them. They wanted more of this. They wanted to see more clearly the truth. They admitted afterward, even, that their hearts had been set on fire. They said to each other, "Did not our hearts burn within us while He talked with us on the road, while He opened to us the scriptures?" And so you see, in understanding the scriptures, they came for the first time that day to possess hope and joy. He had opened their understanding, and they came to see Him clearly by faith before they ever recognized Him with their eyes. And you know what? This kind of thing still happens today. When we carefully study God's Word, we find that our hope and our joy grows, and our confidence in Jesus' promises gets stronger. You don't really think that we gather for Bible study on Wednesdays and Sundays to get a gold star or earn brownie points with God, do you? Bible study isn't for those who already know it all, but for those who seek to know the Savior better and to become closer to Him. And there is hope and joy in every careful study of the Scriptures, and I urge you to do so whenever you have the opportunity. Which brings us finally to the thing left behind this morning. An uneaten meal. Actually, we don't know that the meal was left sitting uneaten on the table. But we do know that they returned quickly the 7 miles to Jerusalem within the hour to tell all the rest that it was true. And they arose that same hour and returned to Jerusalem, and they found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together, saying, "The Lord has risen indeed and has appeared to Simon." Then they told what had happened on the road and how He was known to them in the breaking of the bread. The disciples began the day in hopeless depression. And then by the end of the day, they obtained new hope and boundless joy. They believed from the scriptures that Jesus really was the Messiah and that he was most certainly alive, having only seen him for a glimpse. You know, personally, I'd like to think that they left the food right there on the table and ran right out the door. I admit it, leftovers aren't my favorite. On the other hand, I'm not in favor of wasting food that I've been given either. But you know what? We can miss a meal now and then, and our bodies aren't going to suffer. I don't have to go back for a second helping, isn't that obvious? Even if it tastes great. Food for the body is important, but it's just not as important as food for the soul. The Emmaus disciples were well fed on the day Christ rose, even if they only had a bite of bread. As Jesus himself said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. And it's there in the scriptures that we see Jesus the clearest until heaven. Oh, television and imagination are only reliable when they agree completely with what the written word says. So the next time you sit down for a meal, before you pray, take a moment to thank our gracious God for having given us his word and the means to nourish the unseen part of us, our souls. And when you've eaten your fill and the leftovers are put away in the fridge, open your Bible and feed your soul with the bread of life. Feed thy children, God most holy, comfort sinners poor and lowly. O thou bread of life from heaven, bless the food thou here hast given. As these gifts the body nourish, may our souls in gracious graces flourish, till with saints in heavenly splendor, at thy feast do thanks we render. Amen. And the peace of God, which far surpasses our human understanding, will keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.